I was not at all expecting to get up here this evening, but turn your Bible, turn just a few pages over, John chapter number 12. Before I get started, I'd just like to brag on the Lord for a second. I come to the end of the year, and for most of my life, I always, and you hear the songs, the Christmas carols and everything, it all says that this is the most wonderful time of the year. Y'all have all heard that song. For many of us, it's not. It's just not. I don't know what it is about the end of the year, and I understand my personal situation, but there's a lot of things that happen at the end of the year, it seems like. Now, I don't understand. I don't know why. But I was sitting there praying earlier. I was over here praying, and the Lord just blessed my heart. You know what He said? Today's the 14th. In 11 days, hope was going to be born. Man, this is such a hard time, but I praise God. I know we're 2,000 plus years since then, but just a few days and mercy and grace and hope and peace is going to be born. Man, I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. Actually, I know I'd be buried beside Him. I guarantee it. I'm thankful. I got a hope. So thankful I got a hope. I don't deserve a hope. He's been better to me than I deserve. I fail Him every single day. But my God's been faithful. He's been faithful. Well, let's see if we can't say something here. John chapter number 12, I'm going to start reading in verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them. Let me back up. I'm going to start reading there, but were 5 days. I can't find my verse. Verse 12, it says on the next day. If you go on back up, verse number 1, 6 days before the Passover. I start reading in verse 20, and we're 5 days from the cross. And there were certain Greeks among them. Everybody's coming in for the Passover. There's numerous people in Jerusalem. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Now, and this is where I'm going to read all of this verse, but this is where I'm focused in. "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Let me pray real quick and we'll get started. My Lord, I come before You so thankful for everything that You've done for me and my family. I'm so thankful, Lord. I'm undeserving, but I praise You, Lord. I ask of You, Heavenly Father, to please help me. You know, Lord, I wasn't expecting this, but Lord, we need You to help us this evening. Lord, please give me the power, the words, whatever it is, Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit's help to say what needs to be said. Take it and seal it to the hearts of those listening and just get glory out of tonight. And we will give You the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 27. He says, "Now is my soul troubled." Why was he troubled? You sit there and really start thinking about it. He was fixing to endure the cross. Yeah, we say it all the time, praise God, He saved my soul. He died for my sins. He bore my sins on His back. This man is 5 days from the cross. He knew that he was fixing to endure the cross. He knew that he was fixing to be betrayed by one of his closest 12. He knew that he was fixing to be denied 3 times by one of his closest 12. He knew that he was fixing to be betrayed, but everybody was going to flee. All of his disciples were fixing to turn their backs and run away from him. He knew that he's fixing to be scourged. He knew the pain that he was fixing to endure. He knew that the Pharisees were going to lie about him. He knew that all of the Jews, if you were to go back at the beginning of this chapter or toward the beginning, verse 13, they're crying, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel." And in just 5 days, they're going to be screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." He knew that in 5 days, the wrath of Almighty God was going to be poured out upon his shoulders. He knew that it was literally up to him for you and I to get saved. What a scary time. If he fails, every person in here dies and goes to hell. If he fails, his own mother burns in hell. If he fails, the sins of the whole world still remain. Think about the emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, just all around the anxiety, the hard stress that's going on in his life. But you know what he does? He says in verse 27, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No. "But for this cause came I unto this hour." I want to just look at 3 real quick things here. What made Jesus keep going on? When the pressure was harder than it ever been, when the persecution was greater than it ever been, what made him go on? Look at verse 23, first of all. Verse 20 through 22, Jesus has got a paparazzi. He's got, those are the Greeks that have come from a long ways, and they've come for the Passover, but the first thing that they say is, "We would see Jesus." You go back, just like I said there a few minutes ago, verse 13, they're wanting to crown him. They're ready to make him king. So he's got the kingdom right there in his hand. He's got popularity. Just everybody's wanting to see him. And what does he do? Verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." The first thing I see is his focus. How many of us, because of popularity, because of the want of fame, because of the want of fortune, we get off kilter? This is something, man, every one of these I struggle with. My focus so many times is off. You don't have to turn. Matthew, everybody knows this verse. Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If you want to be able to push through to the end, if you want to be able to be the one that stands up when the pressure's the hardest that it's ever been, persecution's coming from all sides, the hardships of life are on your back, and you just keep pushing on, your focus has got to be right. It makes me think of those eyelets or blinders that they used to put on horses. And I think they still do up in New York. Horses are very skittish. They jump at everything. So they put these things on their eyes that make them look straight. They don't see the circumstances, the situations that are going on in their life, the things that are all around them that would scare them to death and make them just lose track and throw their rider off and go crazy. They can't see any of it because their focus is straight. How many of us, because we lose focus, it don't take much to knock us out? Man, I tell you what, I struggle so hard with my focus. But if we want to be able to push through to the end, we need to make sure our focus is right. Secondly, look at verse 25 and 26. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If I didn't read it, verse 24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's talking about himself. Can I tell you the second thing here is a fully surrendered life. Christ says, it's just a few hours and I'm going to be lifted up. And then he says, if I don't die, nothing's going to happen. You know what his life was? It was fully surrendered to the Father's will. And then he says there in verse number 26, he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. It hit me yesterday, the weight of that verse. He's going to the cross. He said, I'm going to die. If you're going to serve me, follow me. Follow me to death. This thing of following the Lord, this thing of serving God and being in His will, it's to death. And I understand in the context here, we're talking about dying to self, and I'm going to say that too, but from the get-go, Christ said this is the Father's will is to death. And then he invites us, why don't you follow me? Can I tell you, you turn right back to Matthew 6, you don't have to turn, I said that earlier, but chapter 6, verse 24, he says, no man can serve two masters. How many times do I try to serve myself and try to serve God? It convicts me to death. You cannot live for yourself and live for the Father's will. I wish somebody would shake me sometimes. But you cannot make it through this life without now making up your mind, being surrendered to death, that you're going to follow His will. And then as you go on, many times, man, I hate it. I feel myself backing up so many times. There were times where I was so surrendered, to God be the glory. There has been times where I'd be praying in my living room and God said, get in your car and drive down the road and give a cashier at a gas station a track. I get up, put my clothes on, get in the car and go down the road. 11 o'clock at night. Will I do it now? If we want to make it through the end, if we want to make sure that in the end we say, not my will but thine be done, make sure you're fully surrendered. But then lastly, and most importantly here, we've seen focus on the Father's will. A full surrendered life to the Father's will. Verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. You know what he said? What's going to push me through to the end is I know the Father's will for my life. Can I tell you, without knowing the will of God for your life, and I know this from personal experience, if you don't know the specific will of God for your life, you waste so much time. You waste so much effort, so much energy, because it's almost similar to a sinner out there trying to fill a void that's in their heart, that's in your heart, that needs to be filled, and you fill it with the things that you think that you need to go that way. You need to do this and you need to do that. Can I tell you, that void will never be filled. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about His will for your life. There is a pleasure and there is just a joy that comes over top of me knowing that sitting right there December 4th, 2017, God hit me with a brick and called me to preach. And then it wasn't 8-9 months ago, God smacked me with a brick and said, I want you to have a Bible study at work. Every single day at work, we have a Bible study. And you know what I could be doing? I could be on YouTube watching hunting stuff like I want to do. But you know what? The focus has to stay in. You know why? There's sinners, there's saints that are sitting in that room at 2 o'clock every day that need me. And whenever God puts it on my heart something to tell them and it comes out just right, there ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing like it knowing that God had a will for me today and I fulfilled it. I'm so thankful that God showed me His will for my life. I'm undeserving of His will. Why would He call me to preach? Man, I'm pathetic. But can I tell you, I'm going to push through to the end because I know without a doubt what He has for my life. I'm so thankful that He showed it to me. But let me tell you this, if you don't have a specific call, like to preach, can I tell you, He's given us His Word. And this is not about me. Understand what I'm saying. The reason He called me to preach, the reason that He gave me more light was because six years before He called me to preach, I surrendered to His scriptural will for my life. I gave it up. I gave up everything because His Word said it. You will never get to the specific will of your life without first submitting to the scriptural will of your life. What got Christ to push through to the end, and I'm done, what got Christ to push through the end was His focus, was He was fully surrendered, and He knew the Father's will for His life. If you don't know the Father's will for your life, number one, if you're unsaved, He's not willing that any should perish. It is His will for you not to go to hell. He sent Christ to die in your place so that you don't have to go to hell. And if you go to hell, you're spitting in my Savior's face. He paid for your sins just as much as He did mine. I don't want His suffering, His pain that He went through to go unmerited or whatever you want to call it. It's already been paid. It is the Father's will for your life to get saved. But then once you're saved, it's the Father's will for you to obey His Word. From beginning to end, it's His will. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory when you follow after His scriptural written Word. But can I tell you, it might be whenever you fully surrender to the will of God for salvation and the will of God for His Scripture, it might be not be too far down the road, He'll start getting specific with you. Thank you, Pastor.